into technical difficulties during the study group. Certain sections of the recording suffer internet breakup, and tiny passages have not made it onto the recording. Most of the information that wasn't recorded successfully is recapped elsewhere in the recording, and that which wasn't is available, or will become available very soon, on the website in the wiki.
Welcome to Osara with Reaper, Reaping with Osara, Osara, I reap you, etc., whatever it is. Study group one, in which the objective officially is to make sure everyone has their VST archive imported and their preferences configured to their liking. And of course, to answer any other questions that you may have found that you have along the way. And
we need to do project properties as well.
Yeah, as well as project properties to show you guys the kinds of things that you can configure in a project before you even start putting any audio down. So does anyone have any questions about the Reaper preferences, about anything they may have read on the wiki article about it, anything they saw that they wanted reviewed, etc.?
Yeah, this is Adam here. Question, if I have the 64-bit Reaper install and I decide I want to uninstall and put 32-bit on, will it maintain all my sound card and settings?
Yes, it does. It pulls the settings from the same app data, I believe. Although you did make a note of all the preferences you changed, right? Dux runs. So you can just put them into the new one?
I wish I did.
I am stirring. Nobody does. But I think I'm pretty sure it's stored in the same keys because it's the same. You guys have talked about the differences between the 64 and 32-bit ones. The 32-bit version is the only one that can use the DXi or the DirectX plugins.
Yeah, we had briefly mentioned that.
Yeah, SoundForge, Sound Muncher 7 that you absolutely can't live without because that's the only way you can get that sound of fuzzy horribleness. With the DX plugin, you'll need 32-bit Reaper.
Believe it or not, Kakos actually recommends themselves that you use the 32-bit. Like they say that they made the 64-bit in situations where you are using, mostly 64-bit plugins, but they actually sort of heavily mention their 32-bit Reaper more, which is fascinating because I would have figured it went the other way around. But no, if you look on the website,
so the 64-bit crashes more than the 32-bit in my experience as well. So there is that. I don't think it's as well debugged as their 32-bit version.
I don't think so either. They have that 32-bit one running tight, though. Oh, man. And the thing about the 32-bit Reaper when it crashes, pieces of it crash. The host for VSTs crash, or the something about it crashes, but the whole thing doesn't go down. And when the 64-bit version crashes, it's like a top-down, just top-heavy, massive, big thing just plows everything over. At least on this system, anyway. What about your experience, Justin? 32, 64,
just the 32-bit crashes for me entirely. It'll be going smoothly, and then it'll be, this program is not running. Or sometimes you don't even get that. Sometimes it literally just vanishes from under me.
Wow. That's kind of amazing, Randy.
Yeah, I just had a question about the pass. When I started the course, I set up a audio folder under my documents, and then I set up a Reaper folder under that. So for my new projects, I put them into that audio /Reaper folder. And then I just, all those other paths, do I need to set those somewhere? Or it just seemed like I should stick everything in that same area, but I wasn't sure, so I just wanted to get some advice on that.
Yeah, I would recommend making like a Reaper temp folder for all your peak files and your recording files, or for the recordings that you make. So if I load Reaper and I make a recording and then I close Reaper, that recording still exists. That's the way it works, because a project and a recording are different things. A recording is part of a project. So when you press stop in Reaper and it says, do you want to save this recording or whatever? And you say yes, it will save it. It's saved. It's there. Now where it is based on your paths preferences and based on if the recording is part of a project or not. So if you are in an unsaved project and you make a recording, I have a temp directory where all the peak files that Reaper builds from using different media on different places on different hard drives and all the recordings I make, all that just goes to one centralized temp folder that on occasion I just purge because it's got hundreds and hundreds of files in it that I just do not need anymore. you know.
Does the recording eventually end up part of your project, or I guess I'm...
No, that's a good question. When you save the project, you can copy or move it into the project directory as part of that save process. So the save as dialog looks like a standard Windows save as dialog, except for one little part that you have to use your screen reader to get to.
Except for the most important part, which is hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
So if I save my project files in that audio / Reaper, and then the next path was a render path, there was a record path, and then the peak path, do I do render, record, and peak all the to like audio / Reaper / temp? Or
I put record and peak in temp, and I left render blank so that it would actually be in the project directory itself. But, like, let's say you know you don't want that, and you actually want a directory where all your renders are going to turn up. When you're done with a project, then you can have those renders go there. But
so if I do nothing right now, everything would end up in my audio / Reaper folder. But you're saying I might want to get more specific with everything to make sure that I know where things are going.
Yeah, so
it's dangerous because there's a gotcha. If you put everything in one folder and you have 10 or 15 projects and you go, aha. File, clean project directory. Goes, oh, everything except the project, hang on, gone. I cleaned the project directory for you. It's only the files of that current project you're working in, and then you go get drunk, or
it will
whatever
warn
you do.
It will say...
It warns you, yeah,
when
but
you
nobody
click
reads
the
that.
Clean project directory, it will say, there are files in this directory not affiliated with this project. Do you want to get rid of them?
So I might, once I have a project done, assuming I get that far in life, I should really move that project to somewhere else.
Well,
we're kind of getting a bit ahead because
that.
We're kind of getting a bit ahead because we're covering the render dialogue. But there is a thing that says make this project have its own subdirectory, and that stores everything nicely away.
All right.
Probably should stick to general preferences as opposed to the render dialogue itself.
Okay, so my renders can go just to the wherever I'm storing my projects, and I should probably
for now,
separate one for recording and a separate one for the peak.
But I would, I'd put all the recordings and peaks together because those are just extraneous things that you don't.
Okay.
You'll eventually want to purge eventually because like.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I got enough to be dangerous. Thank you.
Cool. So, who has not gotten the VSTs working in Goldwave that is taking Goldwave?
I copied them in there. Whether they're working or not, I can't tell, but they're there.
Okay. So you know the path that they belong to. You know where they're extracted.
Yep.
Okay. So the first thing we need to know, of course, is where are the VSTs extracted? And of course, that question is answered by me by saying, well, C:\VST in my case. The place to go to import the VSTs is in Preferences menu, which we'll get to by pressing Control P. You will go to the plugins part of the tree view and then open that up and go to VST. I will now demonstrate this. Now, what I need is my portable Reaper because I made a dedicated Reaper that has nothing except for audio picked. And this is to make sure that I have a Reaper that will not be influenced by anything but default behavior.
Reaper. About Reaper V5.25 Rev VFV800 Accept 19-2016 Dialog Visit for Updates. Reaper is not free.
Blah, 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 because this one is not registered.
Reaper V5.25 Emulation License Track View.
See? All right. Now, I'm going to press Control P.
Reaper Preferences Dialog. Tree View. Level 0 Plugins Expanded 7 of 9.
If you didn't hear Plugins Expanded, that's fine because I was in here earlier. But press P until you do, and if it's open, then all you have to do is hit down arrow from there, and eventually you'll hear...
Level 1 compatibility 1 of 5, VST 2 of 5, level 1.
VST. If it says...
Collapsed.
VST...
Level 0 plugins collapsed.
Plugins collapsed, then you'll need to press the right arrow to open that up, and then you can arrow down to VST. Is everybody there?
I didn't get plugins when I pressed P for some reason, but I did get to VST, so I must be there, right?
Yeah, okay, so it was open by default, because there are multiple things that will jump with plugins.
Level 1 path 1 apt, level 0 project text, and level 1 play map for a peak / waveform, level 0 plugins.
So eventually, when you press P, that will jump you to plugins, and then to VST.
Control surface, external editors, plugins, collapse, level 1 compatibility, VST 2.
There we are, assuming it's open, of course. So, that is that. Everybody with me?
probably scrambling to keep up if usual things happen.
That's why I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not in a position to monitor chat right now. That's why I was just...
I've got it.
Okay, good. So if we now tab past the tree view...
Edit blank.
This edit field...
Find button.
And that corresponding button, like I said, is the very somewhat functioning search feature of Reaper that doesn't really track with screen readers very well.
Okay, button. Cancel button.
So, past all this...
Property page. If multiple VSTs are scanned with the same DLL name, only one will be available. Either the plugin found later in the path list or housed in the directory structure for a given path. VST plugins settings grouping.
That's just a little grouping deal that you just heard, which you can tab past.
VST plugin paths can be multiple paths separated by semicolons. Edit selected Z. Program files x86. Standard VST plugins Z. Program files x86. Common files VST3.
Now, yours may have had more or less in there, but what this is an edit field containing a list of paths where VSTs could live. Each path is separated by a semicolon. So if we look at this, I just press home to get to the top of it, and I just read this one letter at a time.
C colon backslash P-R-O-G-R-A-M space F-I-L-E-S space left paren x86 right paren backslash S-T-E-I-N-B-E-R-G backslash V-S-T-P-L-U-G-I-N-S semi.
See, there's no spaces or anything. It's just the path, semicolon, next path, semicolon, next path, so on. And so all we really need to do in this dialog box is make sure we're at the end of the field here. So just press the right arrow. It's just blank. We're at the very end. And just simply type semicolon because we're adding another path to this thing. And then add C colon backslash VST.
Will this get subfolders similar to how we could check that in Goldwave or not?
Yes, it will. Now, once you've typed that in there, all you have to do is just press enter.
Find button. Okay, button.
You don't have to do anything else or worry about anything else in this right now.
Reaper
now,
find point.
Nothing happens. Oh, it goes back to Reaper. Is it that quick? Well, no. You see, what happens is Reaper checks plugins when it restarts. So what we need to do is close Reaper and then go back into it. So, has everyone typed semicolon, C colon backslash VST, and pressed enter?
Yes.
All right. So, I'm going to exit Reaper.
That's where your VSTs hang out.
Portable Reaper.
Yeah, this is true. I'm just saying C colon backslash VST because that's where I put mine. But if yours is D colon backslash VST or whatever.
Reaper.
Oh, boy. Now.
So, we close it and reopen it, basically.
Pretty much. And then
it takes a long time to reopen, as you can tell. It's busily.
In fact, my system is so preoccupied by it that the keyboard is
off.
Yeah, the NVDA wasn't even responding for a while. It's just as crazy and just as long as Goldwave's scanning. And it will come up with some errors because some of the DLLs are used by VSTs but are not VSTs themselves. So,
what does VST stand for?
Virtual Studio Technology.
I'm assuming if it's taking a long time, that means it's finding stuff.
Correct. Like, my system is not even letting me focus on Reaper. It's definitely running. But if you alt-tab past it, I'm just doing this off of Team Talk so that my speech isn't all over yours. But it's definitely taking a sweet little time.
So now my license thing came up and I pressed escape and I can press my arrows and get no tracks. That must mean it's
Reaper
done,
Reaper
right?
V5.25 emulation license track view.
That's correct. And now mine is as well. Oh, boy. Now, I will have more on my system because I have other plugins in addition to those in the archive. But here's how you can tell if you have a fair few VSTs, just to check to make sure they worked. You're in Reaper right now, correct? Just everyone. When your VSTs have added, let me know in case there are any errors. So when everybody's actually got their Reaper back, let me know.
Mine is back.
Mine's back.
Cool.
Mine's back as well.
I'm still waiting.
But I'll have to go and check if I really wrote that correctly.
Now I just got a can't find directory, please reinstall, and it's got an okay button.
Yep, that's
just
fine.
Okay that.
Yep, that's one of the errors that you'll get because that's a VSTi that made it as part of that archive. Forsando shouldn't actually be in there anyway. It's a VSTi, not a VST. Oh, well. That was a accident.
So you just
for
press the okay
ago.
Button and let it go
yeah,
on?
Just let it go on. Don't even worry about it. Obviously, some of this stuff will be very, 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 very condensed in the recording of this study group. So those who do not make this, do not be jealous at the speed of the machines of the people who are on this
podcast.
Well, here comes
whoops.
He fiddled when he should have faddled.
Was anybody else storing to disk?
It was breaks when I tried and do it, so I wasn't.
Yeah, I think it was just you who was storing, Derek. I'm not storing. My internet's not stable enough.
Okay. Well, there'll be a piece missing. Wonderful. Okay. All right, so what was the last thing that was said?
Justin and I commented that there's actually a rescan button on the dialog if you don't want to relaunch Reaper. You can actually rescan it straight away. The other thing I was going to say, there is actually a browse button if you want to find your path, like if you don't want to type the path in. Derek's right, typing the path in is the safest way, but if you actually want to browse for your added path, you can do that. And I think everybody, just about everybody, finally got their Reapers relaunched and the effects rescanned in.
Adam asked what a virtual instrument was, and Adam asked what VSTi was, and I told him it was an instrument, a MIDI VST, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is a tip, if everybody wants a MIDI course, you should totally tell Submit Audio, and who knows what might happen next semester. Saying.
I don't know if it'd be a MIDI course or a sequencing in Reaper course, because that might actually scale to fit more people.
Is there a way now to tell that these VSTs are here?
Yeah, we're about to They're check that. There. Yep. The only reason I didn't mention that dialogue before, by the way, about the browse dialogue or the rescan button, is because of two things that have happened to me on machines sometimes. With the browse dialogue, I've inadvertently, in browsing for a folder, eliminated all the other paths that were in there in favor of just the one I added. For some reason, when I clicked browse and I browsed to a path, it killed everything else.
Do actually, now I come to remember it.
Hmm?
I've done that too.
Yeah. And I actually had it do it to such an amazing degree that Reaper stock effects disappeared. I'm like, hey, that's a little much. And the rescan dialog, for some reason for me, only makes certain plugins show up, and it still has to do a lot of rescanning when I restart. So I just figured, well, let's just cut all that out and get right to what needs to happen, and then we'll be good to go. But that having been said, we're going to take you into sort of the depths of Reaper just a little bit, just enough to where you can see that your VSTs work. So if everyone's focused in Reaper and they can press up and down arrow in here,
no tracks,
then we're on the same page.
Yep. There.
Okay.
Me too.
Yay. All right, cool. Now, what I'm going to have you guys do is press Shift-F. Shift-F adds an effect to the master track, which we'll talk about, but that's essentially what's to be rendered. Anything that plays on your master track will be recorded by Reaper rendered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Shift-F.
MFX to master track dialog filter, combo box collapse, edit blank.
Now, if that takes a while to come up, that's okay. That means that your system is actually still scanning. So let me know when you press Shift-F if you get the add effects dialog.
Got it.
I came up in an edit box.
That's it.
Edit focus blank.
Yep, you are correct. Good.
Is it the thing where you have those old plugins and...
Yes. And, yes.
Okay, so this is how that it is, should look like.
Mm-hmm. If you, once you're there...
List one list, combo box, clear filter, okay, can't review, level...
Tab to that tree view and you press V.
Level one VST
for
nine.
VST. And then you tab into the list.
List one list.
And you arrow.
VST.
And you hear
VST,
things
VST,
like.
Plus Arminico 2, Carlos Mateo 1 and 303. VST, 3D binaural specializer, Klingler 2 and 303.
Stuff like that. And there's like, you know, hundreds in there. Then you've imported them correctly.
Say an arrow to right.
So if you. I'll get out of it completely. So Shift F.
Edit focus blank.
You're in the edit field. That's where you can search for an effect name.
Clear filter button. Okay, button. Can't stream you. VST 409 level 1.
But if you tab to this Tree View, you don't have to right arrow to open it. What you do is you just arrow to where it says VST. You press tab.
List one list.
You're in a list view of the VST plugins. So it sort of works a little bit differently than the preferences.
I have two VSTs in there, and they're different, it looks like.
Tree View, VST 64-bit.
Yep.
So does that mean I downloaded the Reaper 64? I thought I got the 32. I wanted to get the 32.
Unless you've got VST and VSTi. VST is not VSTi. So if you highlight VST and you've got 200-300 items, you're good to go. Don't even worry about where they hang out.
I've only got 9 or 8 or something.
Now that I spelled them out, it's a VSTi. So, good. That means I must have the 32.
Yep. Okay. Well, Mar, do you have a thing in there that says new in that tree view?
No, and I'm not sure if I'm quite in the right place yet, because it says VST, and then it says...
Then you need to press tab again.
Ray Samplematic 5000 something or other, is that where I'm supposed to be?
Yes, but you apparently haven't added the VSTs. But there is no new option in there?
Oh, I've got two VSTs, that's why.
Yeah, there you go. Remember, because there's VST and VSTi. VSTi is your instruments. So Samplematic is...
Now you said new or something?
Well, it may not matter. How many VSTs do you have on the other one?
Yeah, 119.
There you go. There you go.
Jaws says VST and VSTi exactly the same. That's the confusion.
Oh, odd.
Thanks, Randy. That's why, because it didn't say the I at all.
Right. Well, okay.
I'm just going to go check that, because that seems unusual.
That is odd, because maybe it's like EI is the E sound, so VST versus VST or something. I don't know. T-E-T-I-T-I-T-T-E?
You would think it would say it differently, but it does not.
Thanks for finding that.
You'd think it'd say something like
Sty. Are you using Eloquence? Because it says the same thing on my system, but I can tell the difference. I don't know. It says VST and VSTi. So, no, but I'm using Eloquence.
No, it says VST and VS. So it says VST and VST. You listen, there's a T and a T. There's actually a slight difference. So if you want to change that, add something to your dictionary, and that will fix it. Like if you add something to your Jaws dictionary that changes VSTi to VSTi, then it will speak properly. So that will fix that.
You have a better ear than I do, because I keep listening to it and I can't hear it. But
the
at
only
least
thing
I, know
I
the,
hear
the,
is
the first one's VST.
The first one's VST with the vocal being like on the same note. And the second one is VST, like it's got a period afterward.
Fun. I like NVDA.
I would be tempted to actually go into your dictionary manager and change VSTi to put a space in the reply if it bothers you. But keep in mind, it's the top one I'm playing with all this semester. VST sorts before VSTi because it's an ASCII sort. So don't bother with the bottom one. You want the top one. 8 of 9, I think it is on mine.
Well, actually, what I would do is just press home in the tree view to go to all plugins and then escape out of that, because there are some non-VSTs that, you know, we'll use. We'll probably talk about some of the JS effects. There will be a study group, Carrie, that you'll find particularly interesting and you may want to show up for in lieu of some of the focus groups like on recomp and re-EQ and regate like we've done in the past. We're doing those as tutorials. And instead, we're actually making this VST archive useful to people, because we're going to do a study group on where we basically will have anyone who's played with things talk about their favorite effects and the things they find the most useful and things like that, so people can really have a firm understanding of the power of the archive.
I'll throw 300 effects at them and tell them about none of them? Yeah, that's what we used to do, guys. Be lucky. We told you about 5 of them.
Yeah.
So you'd learn about 5. And they go, oh, by the way, Black Dragon's cool, and like Sounding Musicalizer is awesome. And people used to go, what about the other 295? Oh, you go play with them. They're pretty cool, though. Take our word for it.
But that's half the fun of them. That's half the fun of them. I mean, you get these and you have to play with them, and you know, it's half the fun of the whole thing. But I was gonna ask how many effects does Reaper come with, and then how many effects are in the VST that you guys give us?
Reaper comes with a fair few effects. So Reaper, in the VST plugins that it comes with that are of note, are Re-EQ, which is its EQ plugin. Huh, wow. It's a parametric EQ of infinite number of bands. You can add as many bands as you want. You have your recomp, which is your single band compressor, your re-xcomp, which is multiband compression, your reverb, which is a really horrible digital reverb, but a very amazing convolution reverb plugin. Reverb 8, which is a slightly less horrible digital reverb plugin that at its best still isn't all that great, but it works. What other replugs are in there? Of course, Revocode. So that's a little vocoder.
Resample-matic.
Raytune. Oh, yes. Jessica would make sure that Raytune was represented if she were here. Thank you, Carrie. Resurround, if you're doing multi-channel things. It doesn't have any virtualization. Like, you know, sorry, we can't encode ProLogic 2 in Reaper as much as I'd like us to be able to. That'd be cool. I'd be all over that if we were. Oh, man. Binaural to 5.1. Heck yeah. But it doesn't have that. But it does let you scale things from surround to stereo and things like that.
There's also all the JS plugins and stuff. So the VSTs aren't the end of the story. There's about 50 or 100 JS plugins that do really simple things. So
yep, that's what I was getting to. What I was going to say, but the thing about it is VST isn't the only deal. JS, which stands for Jesus Sonic. I'm not sure why, but that's what it is. It's a programming language. It's a scripting language that you can write plugins in. So people have written like compressors and
just
limiters and filters and stuff just for Reaper, yeah. But it's a plugin language. Brian Smart wrote a controller for MIDI because he didn't like the way Reaper's MIDI control worked at the time. So he wrote one in JS.
Is it bundled with Reaper? Do we have it?
Or no.
Is it just available from some link?
It's his site, I think. He's redoing it anyway.
The thing about JS plugins to remember, guys, is that you can't import them into Goldwave. There's some really useful ones, some great ones for sound design. I would point the sound designers in the direction of things like Spectral Hold, which is an awesome plugin, but you won't be using them in Goldwave or anything else.
You can, sort of. Because buried in the deep, dark recesses of the Reaper website, I saw it once, like last year when I was looking for some other random thing. They actually have a VST plugin that hosts JS effects. So if you want to try that, you theoretically could. But that's like a plugin that runs a plugin in a thing that has a bridge that may or may not work. So, yeah.
So to answer Tammy's question, you come out with 10 or 15 VSTs by default, which are all quite capable and useful and awesome. So do not ever underrate Reaper's stock effects. They are actually really good. In fact, people rave about Raycomp and RayXComp. They're just like, don't use anything else, even if you think you want to. Like,
I don't.
Then the VST archive gives you another 300. So,
well, I only think it's 100 and something. Oh no!
I thought it was 300 and something. Well, it depends on what you've picked up from all over the internet. I mean, the default VST archive. I haven't counted the DLLs, but suffice it to say, you'll probably use 10 of them in your lifetime. I'll be very surprised if people use more than 10 or 15 of them when it's all said and done. You might spend how many happy afternoons finding the ones that you'd want to use, though. And that's the fun of the VST archive.
Yep. But there are amp sims in there. There are different compressors
Ray Delay.
In there.
We didn't mention Ray Delay.
Oh, yeah, Ray Delay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good old single and multi-tap delay.
And I'm sorry, I have one more question. I have the evaluation version of Reaper that I got, I don't know, maybe a month ago that I haven't really played with. How long does the evaluation version... and it is the 32-bit, just in case you're wondering.
Forever.
And, oh, it does? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
However, and I'll put this warning in the recording here for everybody, sound editors do put metadata and stuff into their files to say what created them. So if you become as popular as Kanye West and release something that makes you $1 squillion using Reaper in the unregistered version, you might get a phone call from them going, so when are you paying for your license? Okay, because people do track what creates things. Now, I'm not saying that anybody wasn't going to pay for their license, but no, the evaluation runs forever. It will keep bugging you and going, you've been evaluating for 1,278 days. In fact, we had a student that we outed, we won't name him, early last semester. It was 2015 semester one, came on and he said, my Reaper has been running for 1,278 days. That is not his accent, by the way. I'm just protecting the innocent. and we said, well, Bob, don't you think that's a bit disingenuous? You've released albums with this thing and you're basically ripping them off. Don't you think you should register? And he went, yeah, I probably should. And he did. But if you come to rely on it, or you really come to like it, when you have the ability, and this is to everybody, kick out and press those buttons. It's totally worth it. We all did, I think. I hope we all did. I hope I'm not misrepresenting someone. I know I bought Derek's original license. That was his present for starting to teach the audio course back in 2012. Well, here's
yep,
your license.
You did. So, and that got me up to five, and I'm like, yeah, I got to keep going. And I did.
Bribery goes a long way.
No, actually, I did it first.
I'm sorry. Is this a lifetime thing then, or do you have to keep upgrading?
No.
Two major versions. So you get about 2-3 years out of it. About 3 years between 2 and 5, or 4 years.
Yeah.
So 3 and 5. So we bought a license for 378. My boss is like, you're really into this Reaper thing. Do you want a copy? It's not that expensive. Yeah, I do actually. So he bought me the license, and that ran me from 3 to 4 and 8 or whatever. And then it was time to upgrade to 5, and I just went to the website. Nothing's that cool. But we understand that it'll take time for people to get to that point. And while it's taking time to get to that point, it will not run. It will not slow down. Like, it will not slow down. It will not complain. It'll just remind you when you launch it that you're still evaluating. So little conscience nag there for you. Then it just gets on with it, and it never says anything again. So they do not believe in limiting their software once it's running and working. Unlike certain other... Goldwave.
Playlist.
Listen.
And good for them, honestly, the amount they charge for it. Like, I'm not averse to that.
What's a Goldwave license cost? I know Reaper only cost about $60, but what's a Goldwave license cost?
45 for...
Yeah, 45 for life.
59 Canadian. Well, she's in Canada, and they make it in Canada, so I thought I'd point out that it's 59 Canadian. Because, yeah.
Yeah, and the exchange rate in Canada is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous right now.
Yeah, keep complaining. Our exchange rate's worse than yours.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right.
Shall we do project properties?
Yeah, everybody good with their plugins? Everybody see like a god-awful amount of plugins on their VSTs and we're good to go?
Can I slip in a good quick question before we
yeah.
do?
Okay. Yeah.
I have a few questions, but I'll pop them in throughout. Commit changes after 1 second. I've re-listened to the podcast, understood it there, but then when I looked at the wiki, it seemed like the explanation was a little different there. Is it just as simple as if I have that box checked in my preferences, it means I actually have to tab away from the edit box for the what values I'm filling in to take effect?
Uncheck.
No, it means if you type a value in that box, after a second, if it's checked, the value will change.
Okay, but if I have it unchecked, I have to tab away from it for it to take effect. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, the wiki just seemed to throw me off a little bit, so okay, thank you.
I'll
check out the wording of that and see if it needs.
We'll go and edit that wiki. Yeah, I mean, if somebody has changes to the wiki wording, email them to submit audio and we'll plug them in.
Yeah, I mean, Justin actually, as a student, wrote a wiki article on Send. Believe it or not, you guys can help.
She writes a lot more. Oh,
yeah,
just an administrivia notice. You guys probably know all of the wiki articles have been moved to a subfolder. Just because they were starting to clutter up the main folder. And I wrote another one yesterday. So I should have mentioned that, but that's where they are for you instructor types.
What did you write?
An article on that vocal booth for Tim, the Vocal to Go vocal booth, and a link to his demo.
Oh, cool. I've seen the Traffic on Audio discuss about that, but not really read it very closely. Keep checking out the wiki, guys. It keeps growing. Lots more nuggets get put in it. And if you would like a wiki article on something in particular that you are unclear on, request it and we will get round to it. Maybe not right the day after, but you get access to, you know, your semester's worth of stuff forever. It will appear and you will have access to it.
Also, guys, if you guys go, well, really, they want me to look at the wiki and they say new stuff gets added all the time, you evil instructors. Can I point out that at the top of each group, like if you go into Audio Common or you go into Goldwave or you go into Reaper or whatever, thing at the top that says recent changes, that's the way to find out what's new, just so you don't have to go look through everything.
But look through everything anyway, because it'll help.
No, there isn't an article on setting up the VSTs for Reaper. Good point, but no, there isn't. But there is a recording that will go up sometime soon. That will be the recording of this thing.
Hey, I was going to say, it looks like that recording broke. I'll scrub it. It won't take a minute. I'll scrub up that and have that up by Monday.
which is a sub note that if students want to store audio, that can be helpful. So if you're competent enough with your audio setup and you want to store audio for us.
I mean, it's Control-Alt-A in TeamTalk, and then you put in a path and check the single file box. Off it goes. And then just make sure you uncheck that when you're done, or every conversation you have on every server will be recorded until our hard drive's filled up. And that will work. That will go until you have 0 bytes free on a drive. It'll just happily sit there and record. All right, but project properties, shall we?
Okay, guys. Other than the fact that project properties pertain to projects, what would people like to venture is the difference between what you will find in properties and what you find in preferences.
Specific to a project, like what type of project you want it to be?
That's it, pretty much, in a nutshell. Preferences are global. They govern pretty much every aspect of whatever they're governed. Reaper-wide, so they govern paths where media is stored. They govern how Reaper looks. They govern what effects you have access to. These you're going to want to use on every project. You're going to at least want to have all the same effects available for every project, even if you use them. Project properties are different because they pertain to your projects, which means that if I give you a project and you want to run it on your version of Reaper, you can, even if your preferences are decidedly different, because the settings are divided up such that your preferences will not break the project. Whether you have all the same effects that I do might, but that's not a preference in and of itself. That's the availability of plugins and media and things. But all the preferences will stay happily as they are on you and happily as they are on mine, and projects will still work. Now, in this project properties dialog, which we're about to skim through, we're not going to touch everything, but in this project properties dialog, you can save your configuration as a difference. So every project will open like that, and that is like creating, that is your first project template, if you will. You can have alternative project templates with additional settings thrown in, and that's seen in the preference window on project. You can have project template files and things. But that gets even more into it. You can have even more in those templates than the settings worked in this dialog. So, let's open it up and take a look. It's opened by pressing Alt-Enter.
Project settings dialog HZ if unset. Hardware default will be used. Pages tab control. Project settings tab selected.
Now, NVDA is very verbose in this dialog, and you need to wait for it to shut up to hear the first item in the dialogue as you tab through. I've fallen foul of this before, so NVDA is really verbose in this. So the default starting place in your project properties thing, and it doesn't have to be like this because Reaper remembers where you leave off often, is project settings. This is like your general tab, and this is a tab, not a tree.
OK button. Cancel button. Save as default project settings button. Property page HZ if unset. Hardware default will be used. Project sample rate. Checkbox checked.
Okay. If...
Save
so
as default.
Let's listen to that again so I don't mess up the wording.
Property page HZ if unset. Hardware default will be used. Project sample rate. Checkbox checked.
Okay. Do I want Reaper to work at the sample rate my hardware tells it to work at? Or do I want it to work at the sample rate I bally well tell it to? I want it, personally, this is how I have it set, to work at the sample rate I bally well tell it to. Because...
Combo box collapsed. Edit selected 96,000.
I do a lot of project work at 96,000 Hz, which is a sample rate higher than my sound card, any of my sound cards, can support. So what happens is, and this took me a while to understand, but what happens is you import a 96k file into your project and you play it, and Reaper will keep the file's integrity intact. It will be transparent with all the processes that happen to the file as long as this sample rate is set at 96,000. If it's not, when you render out, there is a risk, unless you change the settings, that you will resample your file, and you may not wish to do that. You may wish to do that, but be aware of what sample rate changes are happening where. So what happens is, when I play a 96k file, it's resampled to the sample rate my hardware is set at for playback. Now I'm perfectly content with this. I don't notice a particular degradation in quality. However, sometimes I'm not following best practices of an audio engineer, sometimes I have too much loaded, and sometimes 96K files go all grainy and gurgle at me, and so I just downsample to 48K or 44,100 Hz. I have not changed the quality of the file. I have changed the sample rate at which Reaper handles the content. So if I set the project sample rate to 48K, Reaper will resample it to 48K and play it back, and maybe my hardware will resample it again if it goes to 44,100. But, you know, it saves my resources. That's the important thing. I change the project rate back to 96K when I'm done, when I want to save, when I want to render, and the world keeps turning. Actually, the file I am working on here, because I have a track up to do a bit of demoing in a bit, is only 44,100 Hz, so it makes no sense to be running at such a high sample rate. That's a bit silly. So we are going to change that. I just typed in 44100 in this box, and we will move on to the next box. Please feel free to beep with any questions at any time.
Force project tempo slash time signature changes to occur on full samples. Checkbox not checked.
If you are working with projects that change tempo halfway through, you may want to set this. We're going to skip over it.
Project BPM. Edit. Selected 120.000.
We're going to skip over these and demo them. So you can, every project has a default beats per minute. That's all you need to know for now.
Time signature edit. Selected 4. Slash edit. Selected 4.
You can set time signatures of various lengths.
Time base for items slash envelope slash markers. Combo box time color.
Time base for project start time. Well.
Edit. Selected 0:00.000.
Project start time. You can have it so that your project starts a while later along the timeline, if you want. I've never found a need to do this. Derek, have you ever found a need to do this? Can you think of a use case off the top of the head where this would be valuable?
If you were continuing a project?
No, because if you changed the project start time, then you would, all the stuff before that time wouldn't be counted. That's like your place in the project along, you know, so if you had done editing up to halfway through the podcast, you would still want that first half. You would just want to go to the second half to continue. I'm guessing Derek can't think of a use case for now. I've never needed to change this. We'll move on.
That wouldn't be for like a count-in or anything, would it?
Well, you could use it for that, but there are count-in settings elsewhere. So I've really never found a use for this, but I'm sure some people have. Neither Derek or Kerry are piping up, so you don't really need to worry about this. Set 0000, that's project start, to edit cursor, so you can put your cursor somewhere and set it to that.
Project start measure, edit, selected 1.
And this is other...
Playback resample mode, combo box good, 192 PT sync collapsed.
Okay, if my file is at a different sample rate, as we have discussed, then how much effort does Reaper want to expend resampling it? I have it set to good. Let's see what different options we have here. Let's go up to the top.
Lowest.
Okay, we have...
Low medium 64 PT sync. Low linear interpolation. Lowest point sampling. Good 192 PT sync. Better 384 PT sync. Fast IR plus linear interpolation. Fast Roman 2 RX 2 plus linear interpolation.
So these fasts, they refer to being light on resources and, you know, they don't take... It's quick and dirty.
Fast 16 PT sync. HQ 512 PT sync.
High quality. So you notice that 512 number is... You don't need to understand all this, what this means necessarily. Linear interpolation, point sampling, etc.
Extreme HQ 768 PT HQ sync.
Extreme. So that's your highest possible playback resample rate. I wouldn't set it to that if I were you. I don't think my machine could handle it.
H fast, sit fast, Roman 2 fast, IR better, 300, 192 PT sync.
So good. Sufficient for me for playback, but hold on, if I've got a 96k file and I want to resample it to 44,100, I want something better than good, right? So why am I setting it to this? Because
render resample mode, combo box extreme HQ 768 PT HQ sync collapsed.
Now we see my paranoia coming into play. You have separate resample designations for playback and render. So I can play back kind of average. I've got crappy headphones, crappy sound card. Good sample rate is fine for me. But I want to make sure that those people with far superior gear to mine get the best possible listening experience. So I whack this right up to extreme high quality, extreme high quality bells and whistles. What do people think is the particular disadvantage of rendering at this higher resample quality?
It takes a lot of room.
It doesn't take a lot of room. It takes the same amount of space. A 44.1 kHz file will be the same size, no matter how badly it's resampled, because it'll have the same number of samples per second. But
it'll be a resource hog.
It will be a resource hog. I have had MP3s render that have taken half an hour and more, because it's got to do the WAV or FLAC conversion to MP3, and then it's got to downsample from 96 to 48 or 96 to 44. And yeah, that takes a long time. The real disadvantage with Reaper, its Achilles heel, in my opinion, is that as far as I am aware, and Kerry or Derek can feel free to correct me if I'm missing a magic bullet, which I will promptly go and take advantage of. As far as I'm aware, Reaper does not support background rendering. When you render a file, Reaper is out to lunch for the duration. Doesn't matter how many different projects you have open at once, and you can have multiple projects open at once, when that render dialogue appears, when it is crunching away, you will not be using Reaper. This differs from programs like SoundForge, which do support background rendering. Now, I'm sure there's a good reason why Reaper doesn't do this, but it's a shame. Because, yeah, if you want to use extremely high-fidelity resampling, if you need to do that, then that's a pain. Going back to the setting your project sample rate accurately, if you do choose to have the project sample rate designated by what you tell it to be rather than the hardware, if you are working on a multi-track project that incorporates a lot of different files at different sample rates, so you have some royalty-free music at 44.1, you have some speech recorded at 48, and you have some sound effects at 96 and even 192 kHz, what you would want to do is you would want to find out which sample rate, in my opinion, either which files are the most important, which, you know, take up the most space, have the most prominence in your project, set to that sample rate, or find out what the most common sample rate is and set to that, so there's the fewest possible files being resampled as possible. That would be the most transparent way to work, in my opinion.
Default pitch shift mode. Combo box elastic 3.1.4 pro collapse.
Default pitch shift mode. We have a number of pitch shift modes here. Feel free to experiment with them. And this is particularly interesting, I suspect, to Des, because pitch and rate can be modified independently in Reaper. But you have various different pitch shift modes. I'm not going to go through them because Elastic is probably the best. Obviously, 3-point-something is better than 2-point-something, and we have both here. But there's various other modes as well which you can play with. There's one called Deraplet, as how eSpeak pronounces it. That is very high quality but very slow. I only use that for rendering. But play around with it. See what you like, because the results vary according to the material processing.
Pitch shifter parameter, combo box normal collapse.
The particular algorithm I have as my project default has additional parameters you can set in the combo box adjacent to it. So that, as again, is experiment with in your own time.
Pages tab control, project settings tab selected.
The one thing I will editorialize about pitch shifters, though, just to represent Jessica, I guess, is that some of them, like the Soloist, for example, the variants of Elastic, are pitch and formant preserving. Some things just preserve formant. Other things preserve pitch, formant, or you can modify them separately. And some of them respond to transients differently. So if you're using them for adjusting the, say, rate of something, you're increasing the rate without increasing the pitch, because those factor into that kind of thing as well. How do those things take to being treated with those sorts of processing? And that those are other factors too. Consider. And I actually like Elastic 2 over 3 for some very specific reasons. So I'm actually quite glad they're both there. So newer isn't always better.
See, there you go. CI. I've always found 3 to be as good or better than 2 in the work that I do. I've always found Soloist to massacre the things I've put in it. Even if I consider the texture of what I'm working on to be quite thin. So I've never used Soloist except for exotic effects. I've never used it for transparency. But Jessica could speak a lot to pitch shifting and rate changing because that's what she...
It's very transparent if you use it for what it's intended. So a solo instrument, a solo vocal, one thing that has a very obvious fundamental and trackable harmonics. If it can latch on to what...
I've tried to use it for that. I've tried to use it for a vocal piece and it's broken. Maybe it didn't like the reverb. But I have not had any luck with the Soloist.
Wait, you fed reverb into a formant-based pitch shifter?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Maybe that's why it broke. That's not the only time. Maybe that's not
no,
the only time
no, but that would be a very good contributing factor because of all the harmonics of all the other things from the reverb that it generates. It's like, what do I do? What do I pay attention to? I don't know. We'll just pick one and go with it. And then it breaks your vocal. So try flipping it around the other way.
Well, that's probably why Elastic always worked better for me. So pick your poison according to, you know, different strokes for different folks. Let's mess around a bit more with the tempo-based stuff. So...
Okay, cancel murder, same as the combo box collapsed. Edit selected 44,000, force from project BPM. Edit selected 120.000.
Let's listen to what that sounds like.
Unsaved pro 1 gil add 3 items. Muted. Metronome on. Play.
Can you hear that?
Yep.
Super. That's 120 beats per minute. That is your default project tempo.
Stop.
Now.
Project settings
dialogue. Let's have a bit of fun.
Okay, same as the property page combo box collapsed. Edit select force project tempo / project time signature edit selected 4 / edit selected 4.
Shall we dance?
Unsaved project play.
Can any of the musicians in the room tell me what I've changed the time signature to?
3-4.
That's it. So you can put any time signature in here.
Stop.
Let's put that back.
Project setting oaks. Prop combo box collapsed. Edit select force from project BPM. Time signature edit selected 3.
Okay. Now, what do these boxes here mean?
/ edit selected 4. Time base 4 items / envelope / markers. Combo box time collapsed.
This is how I have mine set. These...
Time base for tempo / time signature envelope. Combo box time collapsed.
These affect what happens to your audio when you change the tempo. So someone said they wanted to get to hear me sing. So they're going to get the chance.
Unsaved prom 1 gil add muted unmuted. Play.
Gil-galad was an elven king.
Stop.
Cool. That's at default.
Project settings. Okay.
Tempo.
Same as the property combo force project. Project BP time signature edit blank. 3 selection.
I want you to go back to.
Slash edit.
Time now project let's BPM. Change the project BPM to 30.
Select time signature. Project BPM edit selected 30. Unsaved project.
So I should be back to 4 time now.
Play.
Gil-galad was an elven king.
I've changed that.
Of him the heart.
Stop.
And nothing has happened.
Project
Let
settings.
Us
okay,
know.
Can't say my property.
System rate. Recorded and done at.
Project BPM. Edit selected 30.0.
120 beats per minute. So we are now going to.
Time signature edit selected 4 / edit.
Chain tempo changes change.
Time base 4 beats. Time. Yeah. Beats. Time.
So that will sound.
Unsaved prompt.
Now, like this.
Play. Part 3.
The last whose realm.
Stop.
So if we change this now,
cancel
button.
Save
as
combo box force project tempo / combo box collapse for project BPM edit selected 30.00.
Let's go for 200.
Selection. Time signature project BPM edit selected 200. Unsaved project replay.
The last realm burn between the mountain and the sea. It's for as long as land is king. It's trying to help party. The countless stars depend on when we're in the silver shoe. Then all of them roll away and when.
Stop.
I kind of prefer it like that actually.
Project setting. OK button. Cancel button. Same as default.
So,
property page 8 combo box collapsed. Edit selected 96,000.
If I changed this back to time and changed my beat back to 30,
force project tempo slash time project,
then it would stay broken and the metronome would slow down.
Time signature
so
edit selected 4 slash edit select time base for items
back.
Slash envelopes slash edit selected 4 time signature edit selected 4
to
project BPM edit select
30
time sign, project BPM
because that's the beat I had it at before I messed with
project
things.
Play
the last whose realm was fan free.
And we
stop.
Fixed it. So do be careful when you change your project tempo, what it will do to your things. And you might want to change the project tempo because if you make the bars longer, when you navigate by bar, you cover more ground. So if we change our...
navigation.
We haven't done navigation, but it kind of makes the point in context.
Same
we will cover that
property
in greater depth in
combo box collapse.
Next.
Edit selected force project temp project beep time signature edit selected for slash edit select time base for items time.
So
slash time signature edit select unsaved.
Basically,
I'm just going to navigate by bar. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but here's navigating by bar at 30 beats per minute.
Play. Bar 2. Bar 3.
The long mountain
bar
was
five,
long.
Bar 6. Bar 7. Stop.
That's about how far that goes. If I make
project settings, okay, same as property
this.
Page combo box collapsed. Edit force project tempo slash project BPM. Edit selected 30.000 selection removed.
100 beats
time
per minute.
Project BPM. Edit select unsaved project. Bar 1. Bar 2. Play. Bar 3. Bar 6. Bar 7. Bar 8. Bar 9. Bar 10. Bar 12. Stop.
Not even going, past a word. So it will change, will change things. It is useful to know how to change, and it is useful to know the difference between beats, position, length, rate, and
project
time,
setting.
Because things will break. There is also something called
okay,
beats
button.
Position, which I'm not quite sure what it does, so I'm going to hand over to Derek to explain that one, after I have just reset this.
Same as combo box, force project tempo, project BPM, edit, selected, unsaved project, metronome off.
Okay, so to summarize what Justin basically said, what he was showing you as a way you can, let's say, a piece of audio is at a certain tempo, but you want to use it as a different tempo. You set your project time base to time, so you can get the metronome lined up to the beat of that audio. Now that that's synced up, and they agree, you change it to beats, position, length, rate. And what that does is it says, this audio is slave to this time at this position to play at a respective rate based on the metronome, thus based on the project tempo. And
question.
So if after that point you want to change your tempo of the audio, then you change it with the project and the whole thing goes with you. Yes.
Is that what they used to call quantize?
Quantize is different. Quantize is where you move everything exactly on beat or specifically close to it. I'm just talking about matching roughly tempo with something and not quantizing parts of it, just getting it lined up.
So I love dubstep. So let's say I have a dubstep piece that is at 140 beats per minute, and I have a dubstep piece that is 145 beats per minute. They do not change tempo, and they stay very strictly to tempo because they've all been synced. But I want to be able to mix them, and I need to be able to change one's tempo. And messing around in this dialogue is a way to do that, to make them match up. Does anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, I do. Actually, does Reaper have a tap to tempo?
It does.
Button?
H. That's just the way it's been for years. We don't know why. We just left it there when Gianluca and I made the key map, because that's just the way it's been.
Well, it's probably the easiest button to press, because it's not spacebar, and your hands are right on it, so.
Yeah.
It also has a means to guess the tempo by time selection. So if you select a bar and process it that way, it will guess, sometimes right, sometimes wrong, what the tempo is.
Well, it doesn't even care what the audio is. It doesn't look at it. It just does the math to assume this is a selection divided out
of time selection.
Yeah, so if you are precise in your selection, then it gets it right. If you are not, then it doesn't. But you could, it doesn't use its transient shaping detection and so on functions for that. But the other elusive, what is beats position only? What does that do? If time does nothing...
I'm about to learn something here, guys.
And beats... and I learned this from Gianluca last year, so it's okay. And beats position length rate changes the whole works, then what in the world does just beats position do? Well, if we have really, really fast demo, because I wasn't anticipating demoing this, but I think I can come up with something on the fly, if you guys will be patient with me. If you have a song that has a drum beat in it,
321.
This won't take too long, I hope. And let's say,
I do the next page while you set that up?
Yay, good, come back happy. It. Yes, go, proceed, have fun.
Okay, next page.
Project settings, okay button. Pages tab control, project settings tab selected.
So that's the general stuff covered. You can set that for a particular project, or you can save it as your default, as we've discussed.
Media tab selected.
The media tab, okay.
Okay button. Cancel but save as default. Property page default format for project slash region render. Path to save media files can be relative. Leave blank for same path as project file. Edit selected media.
Now this is really useful. If you are doing a graphic audio drama, you've got all your dialogue, you've got all your music, you've got all your billions of sound effects. Where is that stuff going to go? Is it going to go in the project directory with your undo history and your backup files and the project file itself? Well, it can, but doesn't have to. You can designate a subdirectory to store that media in. I have mine imaginatively called, following the advice of the guy who runs the Reaper blog, Media. And so it stows all that stuff away, so I don't have to worry about it when I'm looking for RPP files and RPP back files and RPP back undo files. So it keeps it nicely out of the way. So I would recommend that you put a relative path in here. What that means is you just need to type the name of the that you want created when every project folder is created. When you save a project by that RPP, there will be a folder into which all your media will go if you save your project properly and have your settings configured properly.
Browse button.
And the browse button will enable you to pick a file, and you could store the media outside the project directory if you want, I believe. Not quite sure why you would want to, but you could.
Secondary recording path blank for none can be enabled per track. Edit blank.
This is so you can save recorded files somewhere other than your primary path. Surprise, surprise.
Browse button. Recording grouping. Audio format for new recordings. Combo box WAV collapsed.
So you can set the recording format you want. What do we have here? We have
AVE, DDP, FLAC, MP3 encoder, OGG Vorbis, OG Opus, Video LCF, WAVPAC lossless compressor, Video
so
LCF.
Those are what we have.
AVE.
In fact, I'm really not sure why I have FLAC, WAV
DDP
selected. Let's not do FLAC. That. Let's select FLAC. FLAC is... What's the advantage of FLAC over WAV? One shout out.
About half the size.
Yeah, I don't know what compression ratio is, but it is a lossless compression format, so we don't need to worry about any nasty quality loss. But we can save some space on our hard drive. I had 7 gigs left on my hard drive than before last. Once I'd finished converting all the WAVs in my Reaper Media directory to FLAC, because I hadn't saved and copied and converted as good, I'd neglected some checkboxes, I had 20 gigs free on my hard drive. So this is good.
Format for apply effects, blue, freeze, etc. Combos custom, 64-bit WAV, collapse.
Now, there are various destructive operations in Reaper. There are various times where you might have split your audio into a billion chunks. And believe me, this can happen. Not quite to a billion, but into the thousands. And that might be very cluttered and cumbersome. You might stick them all back together and render that out as a new file. What format would you like this file to be? Because I'm kind of anal, I save it out when I must do these things, and I do them forever as 64 WAV. That way I know I lost no quality compared to the bit depth at which Reaper mixes, because Reaper mixes 64 bit. I don't like the idea of doing a bunch of project steps, rendering down to 64, and then going up to 64 again, and then some Reaper operations will only let you render out as high as 32, so going to 32 and then going to 16 from a final render, like all those jumps about in depth. It probably really doesn't matter, but that is just my little paranoias. I always like to assume people can hear what my stuff sounds like better than I can, given the quality of the stuff I have, so, you know, I preserve quality where I can. 64-bit files are huge! If you're going to be doing a lot of gluing, which is sticking chunks of audio together, freezing, which is applying effects to tracks and leaving them there and not worrying about them anymore, and other such operations, I don't recommend you mimic these settings. But, you know, it's your Reaper. Configure it how you like, as paranoid or as laid back, man, as you like.
Not set button. Recording grouping. FLAC encoding depth. Combo box 24-bit collapsed.
So, if I'm recording, what bit depth do I want my FLACs encoded at? I'd like them at 24-bit, please.
Data compression. Combo box 8 slowest collapsed.
This is to do with FLAC encoding, so I have it set to factor 8. This means it will compress as small as possible. Vital on a hard drive with as limited space as mine, but it will obviously take longer to render. Everything has a price.
Pages tab control, media tab selected.
And that's the end of that. I can go ahead and finish this, or we can break for a demo.
Go finish this, and then I'll be done. Okay. I'll be ready.
Any questions on the media tab?
Mine seemed different. I just seemed to have other things in there than you went over.
Tell me.
Well, there just seemed to be more choice. I was clicking with you up until about 2 minutes ago, and then it just seemed like there's other things I have that jumped over or don't have or I have.
Well,
I'm not sure.
What sort of other things? Can you give me an example, and I can tell you where you've gone or how your Reaper might differ from mine.
Embed project tempo, do not include markers and regions. I'm on the media tab, but like I say, for some reason, as I go, it just seems to have different...
Project setting, media tab select.
Let's go through this again.
OK button, cancel button.
Just to check I didn't miss anything, but I think it has to do with the way we have our settings set.
Save.
You remember the other day when we did preferences, because of the way I have my settings set, I don't have certain checkboxes shown.
Property page default format for project slash region render. Path to save media files can be relative. Leave blank for same path as project file. Edit selected media.
So that's where to dump your media.
Browse button. Secondary recording path blank for none.
Secondary recording
Browse
path.
Browse recording grouping. Audio format for new recordings. Combo box flag collapse. Format for apply effects. Blue, freeze, etc. Combo box custom. Not set button. Recording grouping. Flag encoding depth. Data compression. Combo pages tab control. Media tabs.
No, it's to do with the way I've got this configured. If you really are seeing this on the media tab, then it's just because of the way I have mine set and you don't.
Okay, let's
briefly do the advanced tab. There's not much to touch here.
Video advanced tab.
Unless anybody has any more questions. Okay, the advanced tab. Really not much to touch here.
Okay button. Cancel button. Save as default project settings button. Property page DB note. Override track pan laws and modes by right-clicking on pan faders. Item mix behavior. Combo box items always mix collapsed.
Okay. This is the tab where MVDA is very chatty. Because all that stuff about pan laws and stuff, you don't need to worry about that until later in the dialogue. And we don't need to worry about it at all. First thing is item mix behavior. Items are chunks of audio into which you can separate your project if you wish. And the options you have are...
Enclosed items always... Items always... Enclosed items replace enclosing items.
Enclosed items replace... Enclosing items, so you can make items, chunks of audio, overlap.
Items always mix.
Items always mix. That is the method of behavior most like sonar.
Items always replace earlier items.
Items always replace earlier items. So, I'm just going to show you something quick.
Items always mix.
I have mine set to items always mix, and I've divided this into two items here. So, this is what it sounds like now.
Play.
Gil-galad was an elven king. Of him the harpists sadly sing.
Stop.
If I want to overlap two items here.
One Gil-galad dot two Gil-galad dot
I'm going to do that with items always mix.
Marker 1 bar 1. Nudge slash set items dialog position or combo box seconds collapse. Edit reader snap to unit get cursor button.
What I'm doing now doesn't matter, you'll learn this later.
Press. Apply move button. Press. Unsaved project.
Now let's listen.
Beat 10%. Play.
Gil-galad harpists sadly sing.
Stop.
That's quite unpleasant, but it shows the point. Now, here is the best demonstration, I think, of why project properties are not preferences, and why preferences are not project properties. If we change the item behavior...
Project settings dialog.
Item mix behavior, I should say.
OK button. Cancel button. Save as default project set. Property page DB note. Override track pan laws and modes by right-clicking on pan faders. Item mix behavior. Combo box.
So that's a little note that is pertains to another piece of this dialog.
Items always replace...
Items always replace earlier items.
Unsaved project.
I've not messed with items at all. I've just changed the default behavior.
Play.
Of him the harpists sadly sing.
My second item has replaced my first one. My first item is gone. So let's undo all this.
Undo move media item. Undo set project BPM. Redo set project BPM. Project set it OK. Cancel button.
So we're going to put that default behavior back to the default.
Property page DB note. Override items always mix.
Items always mix. That's what I prefer.
Track mixing bit depth. Combo box 64 bit float default collapse.
Track mixing bit depth. Remember we talked about how any process that changes the volume of the sounds you are working on erodes the quality of your audio to a certain indiscernible, imperceptible degree. And the greater bit depth you work at, the smaller this degree is. CDs are 16-bit, and you have a huge number, 2 to the power 16, possible rungs on your bit bucket ladder, your dynamic range ladder to navigate. Even so, some people say that it sounds cold and harsh and it's not like analog and you can hear the digital rounding errors and the quantization distortion and blah, blah, blah. So, we have 64-bit precision here. And I believe that's the greatest that Reaper will go to.
32-bit float, 39-bit, 24-bit, 16-bit, 12-bit in, 8-bit in.
So if we wanted, we could mix it 8-bit. If you were doing like a old retro Nintendo game, I guess you could do that. Although I'd really rather do it with plugins and have distortion exactly where I want it and not where I want it.
I just learned my thing for today. Justin's about to learn his thing for today. I learned my thing for today. Because I actually tried to do that and mix that way. And I didn't realize I could actually dumb Reaper down to do it. And I was trying to make Reaper add all these plugins to do it. And the elusive obvious is right there. I didn't have to do anything to augment Reaper's functionality. I just had to pay attention to what was in front of me. That's awesome.
So,
as you were.
Honestly, unless you really don't have much processor power / RAM, like if you are running a computer from Dark Ages or something, you leave this at the default. This is the highest fidelity setting, and it's not very resource hungry. Everyone can manage it. Yeah, this is basically a peacock setting. It's basically saying, look how high a bit depth we mix at. We're keeping your audio safe. You don't ever need to mess with this. Let's see if there's anything else we want to mess with. I have one more tab to quickly show you.
Allow feedback in routing can result in lower performance. Loud noises, checkbox not checked.
I would leave this at default.
External timecode synchronization check. Configure
button. Don't
worry about it. Limit project length. Stop playback / recording at. Checkbox not checked.
You could do that if you wanted. If you didn't want a project to be longer than a certain length for whatever reason, you could mess with that here. That's in the advanced tab.
Edit selected 10:00:000.
So the default in the edit box is 10 minutes, but obviously that won't apply unless you check the preceding checkbox.
Panel/mode grouping. Panel.
We're not going to worry about any of this.
Pan mode. Rewire saves. Pages tab control. Advanced.
And there's just one more tab to do. So does anyone have any questions on this tab? Okay, cool. We are literally a minute away from completing project properties. Cursor right again will take you to the...
Notes tab selected. OK button. Cancel button. Save as edit multi-line blank.
Now, all you have here is a multi-line edit box. I can write whatever I like in here. Comments on what I've done to this project, where I got to, why I did what I need to be careful of, that the default BPM for this project is now 30, etc., etc. And then I can press tab.
Show notes on project load checkbox not checked.
And I can check that box so it shows notes on project load, and then I can give it to Derek to master. Okay, Derek, this is what I did. You have Isotope plugins and you can make them work, and I can't. Please master this for me. We'll pretend it's the multi-track version of this rather than the MP3, which I just quickly pasted in. Please faff around with this. There's a fox that comes in. I'd really like it to sound more like this. If you could do that for me, Derek, that would be great. Derek would receive the project. He would load it up. My little message to him would appear before he got access to any of it, so he could take note of have to say to him.
Pages tab, OK button.
And then I can click OK.
Cancel button.
I'm going to click cancel because I don't want any of these settings to take, really. I haven't messed with anything. So that's a really good way to collaborate. The notes tab is very useful, and it's very useful if you have a project that you haven't worked on in years and you kind of, how did I do that? And what does this pertain to? And why did I do this? And etc. Then the notes is like your commentary of how and what. And that is the project properties dialogue. Does anybody have any questions before Derek demos his demo? Okay. Teach us all, Derek, including me.
Good. And I needed all that time. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yay. All right. So
actually,
for those,
just let me turn my voice activation off.
Reaper Team Talk 5 Classic.
So we don't have a repeat of the other day.
Gone. So This is an interesting function that I saw but didn't really notice until I really played with it in Gianluca, messed around with it and figured it out, and then played with this last semester. So for those doing music and wanting to put samples in very specific places in audio, here's a scenario that I have. I've truncated these samples horribly. It's a part of an SFC jazz drum kit. So the samples are not truncated to that length. The snare ring and the kick actually ring out way longer. But what you are noticing is that these samples are 120 BPM on the beat. I pasted them on the timeline on the 1, 2, 3, 4. Great. Nice. Okay. So if I press H while this is playing to tap tempo with the thing set to time, what do you think is going to happen?
The metronome should click right along with the drum track.
Right now it does.
It's already clicking along with the drum track.
But if I change it with the tempo, the project tempo...
Do you want to mute the track just to show them the metronome's clicking along?
There's your metronome. There's your crappy sampled drums. So with the time base set to time, if I change this,
oh no,
that does nothing. No correlation whatsoever. So when Justin was trying to line his stuff up again, this would work if I put this back to 120. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Fun times. Now, that's cool. Beats position only. Again, on the project settings page for beats position only. If I change the tempo. It has spaced those samples out farther. So if I change this dramatically,
but notice the quality isn't degrading.
Right. They're individual items. They are staying on the beats and the position relative to the time. Dum, 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 dum. That's cool. Great. All right. And of course, we get that back to normality with putting that back to 120. Okay, fabulous. Now, beats position length rate says I want to not only change such that the beats and the position are proportional to the time, to the metronome, to the project tempo, but so that the length and the rate of the items are as well. So what happens with that is this when I change the tempo. Or if you prefer, or so it's time, it's doing expansion and compression to the audio in your terms of your rate.
How fast does tap to tempo go?
Let's find out. Let's see. Not very good, is it? Not at super fast speeds. So you can't do punk with it, I guess. Oh well, that's out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, it's, I guess from stop you can, so that's cool. 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope. So past a certain speed, it just doesn't bother. 1, 2, 3, 4. That worked.
I feel like it needs a country rhythm behind it.
It needs some, like, accordions or something.
Now see if I put this to beats position only. We get our transients back because the drums aren't being time compressed or time expanded. Now, why would you want beats position length rate? Why not beats position? Well, in this particular project, the samples are on every beat. They're pasted there. But if you're trying to, like, let's say, use Billie Jean in a mashup or something like that, and you wanted to take that those first four, this. Can we loop this in real with a reasonable degree of accuracy? Almost. No, that's got it, actually. And let's say we wanted to rip those drums off and use them somewhere else. But we wanted that faster. If we change the time base to beats position only, well, there's one sample there. There's one sample of all those drums. So moving its location only wouldn't change anything. You'd need to move its location, and you would need to move its rate and its length. So you would do beats position length rate, and then if you wanted to, you know, use his drums and part of a hip-hop kind of thing. Or, you know, a ballad or whatever, you could set them to 90, and there they are at 90.
Do we understand, just while he configures this next thing, do we understand that in Derek's first demo, we were
there's your dubstep
with
drums
chunks of audio.
There they are, 140.
Chunks of audio that moved in terms relative to each other on the timeline. Beats position length rate takes whatever is on the timeline and stretches it or compresses it.
I was always hoping a person could do something like that, because then you could create, if I could talk, your own rhythm patterns.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're doing it.
You know, it's funny. Actually, it's really useful that I have learned this, because I'm going to do a dubstep mix for NFR, which is an internet radio station that Jessica works for, and various other people that I know. And I want gunshots to increase in tempo, but I don't want to degrade their quality. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a gunshot on each beat, and I'm going to increase the tempo of my project, and I'm going to have it set to beats position so that each gunshot is not messed up in quality, but they
you'll
get
appreciate
closer together as I accelerate the tempo.
Each track can be set to its own time base too, so you could make your guns track beats position only, but then let everything else be beats position length rate if you need to. So have fun with that.
That's it. Yeah, and the same with items as well, but that, mm-hmm. we're getting ahead with that.
No, that is pretty cool.
So that is cool to know.
Yep, so
I guess we covered track, or project properties. Are there also then track properties?
They're in menus sort of throughout Reaper, because there's so many of them. It's like, here are your input settings, and here are your monitoring, and here's your output, and your effects, and your this, and your that. And so, unfortunately, they're not all grouped into one thing like the project properties are.
Noel made the excellent point that in order to teach you the preference dialogue properly, we were having to touch on things that you haven't covered yet. Indeed, we have touched on things briefly, hopefully with adequate enough cursory explanations that you haven't covered yet in this lecture, like items and things. If we were to cover track properties, diffused as they are through all the different menus, we would cover a lot of things that you haven't covered yet, and it's better to learn those as you go along.
Like, Reaper has things in it. Like I said, you can be using Reaper for 6 years or 6 minutes. Doesn't matter. You'll still learn stuff. Because I was just digging around a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking at some options, and there's an output submenu in the input section of Reaper for the track. And I'm like, why would you record into a track from an output of a... Oh, right. Well, duh. And then I figured it out. And it's because you can have tracks coming from you can get audio from any number of things, including other computers. You can farm out processing to other machines if you want, and you have Restream set up. And you can actually destructively record stuff that is sent to another track onto that track. Reaper's a little ridiculous. Like, it's kind of, yeah. So,
yeah, if you didn't understand that, and I barely did, the moral of the story is Reaper, massively powerful. You'll always be learning stuff. Don't worry about the things you don't understand. Muscle memory will iron out most of the greases.
A distributed recording studio.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, before I took this course, which is obviously like last week, I was playing with Reaper. I think it was the beginning of July or something like that, because I just thought I'd grab it And so I grabbed it and I was looking around and I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll record something. Well, it should be easy. I've used SoundForge for a couple of years and, you know, I don't have any problem with that. It took me
not so much.
Probably an hour to figure out that you have to arm the track first before you record on it. And I was talking to a friend and don't you know you have to arm the track? Well, you don't have to do that in SoundForge.
No.
Well, yeah. Well, this is a multi-track recorder, so yeah, duh.
Yeah.
That was sort of my stupid moment.
Because otherwise, if you're overdubbing, how's it to know
actually,
which...
You have to double-tap the spacebar button in the SoundForge record dialog. You arm it. You arm the record button, and then you... So you
yeah, but I never
easier.
Thought of it as that. I just figured, I press the spacebar. I've used SoundForge for so long that I don't even think about it. And I probably would get this that way in Reaper as well, but it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, F7R.
We're kind of moving into the chill out phase of the study group now. But before we do, and that's pretty much all we have to cover for tonight. Does anybody have any more questions on preferences, the VST archive, Reaper's plugins in general, or the project properties? Anything that's been covered, demoed tonight? Anybody not clear on anything?
Okay, I'm sorry. I have another question. I feel like I'm sort of monopolizing the class tonight. Sorry.
We like students with lots of questions. Please
feel
free
to I have tons of them. Okay, so the project settings and preferences and the project preferences, does that all copy into one sort of nice little folder so that if I wanted to throw it to a friend and say, hey, clean this up for me, I have made a huge mess, that, you know, they could do that?
Yes. Anything in project properties that you change is for that project, which means that when you save that project and your friend opens it up, those settings exist for your friend. If something you've changed in preferences is breaking your project, that part won't factor in for your friend.
Oh, okay. So that's what I mean. The preferences for the project, the single project, will go with the file with the project folder that I send. But my main preferences will not.
Right.
Right.
Okay, got it.
So, like when we're editing these classes. Yeah, it's one file, it's a single track deal, but we edit in Reaper because we can pass the thing around. We can leave notes for each other. This marker is where I left off. Could you check from this marker to this marker? Because this is where I edited, but I fell asleep somewhere. You know, that kind of thing. And when one of us opens the project up from the other person messing with it, our cursor is set there where they left off. Any views, any effects, any things that have been changed are there. Markers placed are there. So on and so on and so on. Which also means that as a courtesy, do not leave any tracks armed when you're saving a project. Because you could send it to a friend whose mixer setup is totally different. And while it may innocently route like your keyboard to your speakers, it may route an open microphone at full volume to theirs. So
I had a question I wrote down when I was going through the previous Reaper class. I wrote myself a note that I might need help on some audio settings, group box under audio, and I think it involved Wasapi, and I saw something about a VU faders. I guess I'm just not sure what to set my audio devices at. I set it to Wasapi for now, but I don't understand that well enough.
Wasapi shared is good.
Yeah, for now, for what you have.
Yeah, if you don't have separate sound cards for your speech, Wasapi shared is a pretty safe bet.
I'll be dangerous because I'll have that separate stuff tomorrow. So then life will get really interesting for me, I guess. And what about this VU faders? I think I saw it in the wiki or something, and I couldn't find it, I think.
That's not really something you need to worry about all that much. That's definitely not in the audio devices tab. I don't play with that. It's all to do with metering. Monitoring your levels and how they appear in Reaper. You know, there's whole sections of this tree. There's stuff to do with rewire and REX and...
rewire is another bugger.
Appearance. There's a whole section of the tree to do with appearance that you don't really need to worry about all that much.
And rewire is insane. Like, we'll not touch that. But suffice it to say, if you have something like Melodyne or Sonar or some other thing linked up on the same machine, you can control one with the other. So if you have your vocals that you're correcting in Melodyne, you can make Reaper control Melodyne And so hitting stop and play in Melodyne will affect your full project. So you can link the two together and have one DAW essentially slave to another and ridiculous things like that.
Great, I already forgot it.
That's pretty interesting, actually.
It is. It unfortunately, it's way beyond the scope of this course.
It's
even way beyond the scope of any Reaper Advanced course that may run next semester, subject to pending approval and sufficient interest. If you want to know about PAN laws and PAN modes, and they are useful and necessary for some things, I use them quite a lot. The Reaper Advanced course, should it be approved and should it run, will teach you things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say you're going to show how many convolutions, but I already did that last semester in the tutorial thing.
Yep. I think we could probably wrap up unless there's any more questions.
Well, quick question. If I'm not really planning to do anything with music, since I have no musical talent, what type of things would I do with Reaper versus Goldwave?
Mix. Like, if you want to do an audio drama, if you want to, say, read a poem with some music behind it and some sound effects, if you want to do anything non-destructively, if you want to be able to completely remake your masterpiece from, you know, rearrange everything without having to start it again, Reaper's good for that. Reaper, Goldwave is your Swiss Army knife. It's slim, fits in your pocket, it's quick, it's easy, it's a nice, intuitive, accessible interface. You can do very powerful things with it. Very powerful things have been done with it. But Reaper is your whole toolbox. You will not want for anything if you use Reaper. Sometimes it's more than you need. Some things are more intuitive and simpler in Goldwave. But it's fair to say that most things you would want to do in Goldwave, you could do thoroughly and more reversibly in Reaper, should you need to do so.
I don't know.
Do music in Reaper either. I don't do music in Reaper either. I do drama production I used to do drama production. I just do sound design now, pretty much.
He's a traitor. He's using Sonar for his drama production, except not.
Yeah. I've never touched Sonar, in fact, but I know someone who does use it. I do sound design, and I do sort of little sketches, little drama sketches and things. And I used to use SoundForge when I learned Reaper. I haven't looked back. So it is useful for non-musicians. Don't for a moment think that it isn't. Did you have a question, Ma?
Oh, I'm so completely lost. I don't know. Some of this just does not even speak to my tiny mind.
What are you lost with? How can we help? Don't struggle alone. Like, what from today? Because I know you found preferences on Monday a little overwhelming. What from today do you feel you've not grasped?
There's you use some terms that you haven't actually, like, you were talking about arming recordings. We haven't done anything like that, so I don't have to worry about that yet, right?
Right.
You got a bit ahead, so you don't have to worry about
yep,
that.
Yep, don't have to worry about that.
Next week, so that will be covered. So don't feel you're struggling there.
Okay, I mean, that time thing kind of was cool. I was thinking, oh, that's what I wanted to do for a while, was create my own drum patterns.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah, like, you could take, I'm sorry. Like, you could, okay. Well, you could take, like, Billie Jean's drums, and then you can know the little tambourine shaky, 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 shaky thing at the beginning of the Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian, right? So you could take their tambourine little shaky shakies, and you could take the drums from Billie Jean, and then you could put those two together at a tempo that none of the actual samples were recorded at in the first place.
If they could stand the stretching and shrinking, because it doesn't come for free.
And that's where those time pitch doodah algorithm-y things play into mind. The elastic versus stretch-tastic versus flexi whatever. I'm just making junk up because I don't remember them all.
Yeah, those different algorithms, sound touch, simple windowing. They basically say, okay, you want me to speed up this audio? You want me to slow it down? You want me to change its pitch? You want me to make it higher, make it lower? How do you want me to do it? Do you want me to slice it? Do you want me to dice it? Do you want me to grate it? Do you want me to mince it? What's going to taste best for you? Fiddle around with those. But seriously, guys, keeping 100% on point, what terms have we used that confuse you? You must ask. We will explain them. And some of them, you know, sometimes a student will ask a question and, you know, because there haven't been any other higher priority questions, we will answer them, even though it is getting ahead a bit. But recording will be covered in detail. But tell us, what else are people struggling with? That's what these study groups are for.
Like I said, I think the best thing for me to do, experimenting and see what works for me, because that's what I did with Goldwave. all those years ago.
And that's what I was doing too. Like, as soon as I discovered the VST archive, I was shooting off and trying to find out what cool effects I had, etc., etc. Do experiment. If you break something, get in touch with us. Listen back to the podcast. If you still don't understand something, if we inadvertently used a term with which you are as yet unfamiliar, say, it's a hoopla doopla, and we'll tell you. We'll hoopla doopla like it's going out of fashion.
Yeah, here's just a question. You know, we've learned to configure a bunch of things we haven't even used yet. I was just wondering, in the next couple of weeks, are we going to be getting back to basics and actually using some, doing some recording and moving around and doing some stuff and maybe referring back to those settings we've configured? And at that point, can you reference a setting or, you know, something we've configured in project properties to go back and, you know, that's what that meant.
That's the idea.
You know.
The thing is, wanted to make sure that everybody's preferences were configured the same, that you knew where to look roughly if you wanted to change something yourself and experiment. We wanted to, it may seem hard to believe, but you have actually done the basics first. You can't move into your house and live, eat, sleep and play in it till you've decorated it and got the furniture where it needs to be. Then you can sit on it and bounce on it and whatever you want to do. This has been arranging the furniture. Following feedback we have received this semester, we don't think we're going to do it like this next semester. We think we're just going to give you a configuration file, tell you to read the wiki article, go play with it, and call it done, so as not to over-confuse people and reference a couple of things. Because this is the thing, we couldn't start you recording and playing and keep breaking to go into the preferences dialogue and say, well, this works like this because we have this checked here. It would get very fragmented and disorganized. So we have the furniture all in the right places now. So the next week is going to be explaining what tracks are. It's going to be explaining what projects are. It's going to be explaining what items are. It's going to be explaining how to import them into your project, how to put audio there. And once we've taught you how to play those items, we're going to teach you how to record. Once we've taught you how to record, we're going to teach you how to edit. Once we've taught you how to edit, we're going to teach you how to mix. Once we've taught you how to mix, we're going to teach you how to apply effects. So that is how the course progression from here is going to look. So we are going to cover everything in what we hope will be a very concept, you know, a thematically logical way. So we're going to build a project from the ground up, basically, from next Monday. Now you know where to look for your properties and preferences should you wish to configure something else other than, you know, because you need to know where things are saved by default. You absolutely need to know that before you start. You need your effects imported. You know, we can't be stopping halfway through the course to do that particularly. You need to know where to go to change where your undo history is stored, because you're going to be making projects. You're going to want to be messing with that and making sure that you can undo things if you want to, and that your items do overlap the way you want them to. So, yeah, this may seem like putting the cart before the horse, but we promise you it's not, and everything will become clear in the coming weeks.
I did have a question. I'm using JAWS, and I downloaded the JAWS scripts. When I go into the help, there's an upgrade, and I notice there is an upgrade available. And then there's also, I don't know, four or five additional shortcut keys that they want me to add to the key map. Am I going to be hurting anything by adding those to the key map?
You can always restore the default key map if things break. So I very much doubt that the scripts have been written in such a way as to break your key map. So, not being a JAWS user myself, I couldn't swear as to how the JAWS scripts work, but I very much doubt, you know, it's counterproductive for them to break your key map, and it's only four shortcuts, and there are 4,000 on the key map. So, I'm sure they were picked judiciously.
I know you're all beginning to wish I had paid more attention to learning NVDA. I use that kind of as my secondary screen reader and don't know
You can use... You can use the screen reader you feel most comfortable with. We will accommodate you. And if things break and if you struggle, Jess is a JAWS user. I'm going to, at some point, not in the very near future, but I'm going to at some point download a JAWS demo. So we're here to help. The purpose in this course is to teach you how to do the things that you need to do with a minimum of fuss and disruption. That's why we've picked a virtually free program for you to use that can be run on pretty much anything.
Oh, and by the way, guys,
the point is you make Reaper work for you, not the other way around.
Oh, and by the way, just as an aside, there they are. I looped the bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian tambourines, and Billie Jean, the drum, and that's playing at the tempo of the Billie Jean drums, obviously, but I can, you know, put them between the two. And they stay in sync. I can, you know, really break it. And that's, again, like Justin was saying
earlier.
That is
pretty cool.
Those pitch dealies, the pitch shift mode. That's three Elastic Pro efficient. Let's just do one that I know to be very bad. Simple Windows
Simple
Fast.
Window about the worst. Yay.
Oh my god, that's awful.
Isn't that horrible?
See the,
yes,
see the difference
very
between
much
the
so.
Algorithms?
You know, speeding it up. That's no good. So, that's out. Now, the cool part
like
is...
snare drum anymore.
Do what?
Doesn't even sound like a snare drum anymore with that algorithm.
You can make it
worse. You're really such a show-off, really.
He's our show-and-tell stuff. He's our show-and-tell guy. He's the guy with all the demo.
I'm going to come to your house, Derek, and I'm going to spend a day with you, and I'm going to steal all of your gear and play with it. It would be so much fun.
Not wishing at all, and hopefully Derek will take this in the way that it's meant, not wishing at all to denigrate, you know, Derek's talent at all, because he is a very talented guy and he's been doing this for a very long time. But this is as much a demonstration of how quickly and simply these things can be done once you know where to look and have developed the muscle memory, as it is of what actually can be done. Look at the time frame in which he did this. Yeah, he has been using Reaper for a long time. But, you know, by his own admission, he only learned about beats position last year. Once you learn this stuff, as long as you keep practicing it, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know, you will be doing stuff like this too. It's not out of your reach. Once you find your specialty, you know, what you want to specialize in as audio hobbyists, professionals, whatever it is you want to be, you know, you will be doing things like this with as greater speed in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I would love to get that good.
Now we just need to see what bass line he's going to pick to throw on top of that those drum beats.
I was wondering about that.
Before we get too carried away with that, is there anything else that anybody else has not understood or questions? Because that's the important thing. We want to make sure you all understand this before we go wandering off into utopian heights.
Not that I could think of.
Okay, that's cool. We will call class done and, you know, then free to stay and chat and talk more obscure things or not as you please.